All right, I want to tell you about Brain FM. Some days, our focus is stretched thin. Different sources of stimulation regularly wear on our attention. Working from home can obviously exacerbate these issues. At best, curated playlists can be a crapshoot. Whether they'll actually push you to be more productive, who knows? This is why we use Brain FM. These guys have neural phase locking audio technology and fire soundtracks that shift your neurons into focus mode. Visit brainfm.com. That's www.brainfm.com. Use the promo code DIRECTIMPACT for great discounts. That's direct impact with no spaces. Now, visit the link in our show notes. Welcome to Direct Impact, where we discuss the various ways our mental health and quality of life intersect. I'm your host, Andrea Epstein, licensed professional counselor, master's addictions counselor, and certified sex therapist. Think of our time together as focused self-reflection mixed with insight, passion, and empowerment. Now, take a deep breath. Now let's dive in and see what impacts you today. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Andrea Epstein and Gregory Martin, and you are here for a candid conversation on the Direct Impact Podcast. All right, today we're talking about matters of size, matters of the body. And so, like, does size matter? I think it does. I think it does matter because for whatever reason, tons of reasons, it tells us a certain narrative about ourselves, and it does impact us mentally and emotionally, and it can impact people vocationally, financially, relationally. And so, like, yeah, we want to talk about it. I guess very candidly, we haven't discussed it. Let's talk about size. Let's talk about what it feels like to be a woman. What does it feel like to be a man in our bodies? And what does the society tell us? What do you think?
Yeah, before you specify there, I wasn't sure where you're going with this question, given your niche, but that's a bit funnier to think about than to talk about. But
we're going to leave genitalia out of this one.
So for this one, size, for me personally, besides the kind of societal, I'll just speak from my subjective experience, because the societal messages I got was I was always too small, too thin. I was chronically underweight until basically my late 20s. So therefore, there was always comment about being too skinny, not enough muscle size, and everything like that, especially in the sports scene, because I did play basketball and then interactions with the wrestling team and stuff like that.
So what was the message?
Just too thin, too small. That's not attractive. Not enough muscle mass. Not enough muscles in the right place.
That sounds hard. I mean, like, that sounds negative.
Oh, yeah, incredibly. Because, I mean, already struggling with insecurities. Maybe not back then. I didn't recognize them. There was all mental health was so terrible in the country school. anxiety and mental health was a foreign concept. And I was most likely struggling with insecurities without really knowing what to call them, other than sensationalized things you've seen in movies and media. So with that, it's always something you just try to put on the back burner, or at least I did. But I've always been terrible at that. So it's always been a self-conscious, is my biceps big enough? I have a shoulder injury, so I can't actually do, like, the butterfly weight. So I could never work on, like, pectorals. So it's always been a place where my eyes do gravitate towards when I am feeling insecure. So really, it's just you're not big enough. So then that means you're not masculine enough, which means, well, there's a potential that you won't get sexual attention from the opposite sex and things of that nature.
That's a good segue. And I'll speak from my unique experience as well, which is as growing up a gymnast and an athlete in every way, I was very muscular and powerful and strong, and that felt good in my body to be able to compete. Just my personality is kind of, I love competition, healthy competition. totally different from comparisons or jealousy or anything, but just like, you know, get two people running fast. It's like, man, I just want to get that edge, you know? And so that was a body that I dwelled in as a child, moving through adolescence. I was a pretty active athlete coming into early adulthood. And then there's that puberty shift, and just developing these large breasts as soon as I wasn't in competitive gymnastics anymore. It was literally like overnight. It was like, bam, from like a nice, cute B to these double Ds, and talk about sexual attention. And it was so traumatic and really hard to navigate as a young person, a young woman, not really knowing like, what is happening to my body? Why is this drawing this attention that on one hand feels good, but the other hand feels really awkward, very scary and uncomfortable? And so that was just a really traumatic time. Not to mention, it was very uncomfortable, just physically. I did wind up having a breast reduction as a result of all of that, in the first, I think, year of college. So, obviously, emotionally, that was a painful time of life. And then moving forward into like after having children, there being like an adjustment. And then post-trauma, post-traumatic injury and body betrayal, moving from someone who hovered around 125, 135, very comfortable in my body, and a really good place, I felt like, in connection to my body, but then gaining 125 pounds, like basically twice my size as a result of the trauma. I gotta say, like, the perspective changed quite a bit. It was hard to be in that body physically and even physiologically. Initially, it was hard emotionally because I carried a lot of shame over it. But I gotta say, not having the sexual attention was a lovely and very welcomed change. And then just this great opportunity, I believe, came out of it for me to focus on who I am, not what my body projects or reflects to the world. So I was able to go inward, which was just an amazing opportunity. And so, like, but I think that size and the way the world receives us as a result is a very real thing. Because, like I said, like, that's my journey, and the world has perceived me, responded to me very, very differently. When I was thin and lean, I'll say, fit might be an appropriate word. The world responded to me very different. Men responded to me different, and women responded to me very differently. Women respond to me much better when I have more weight on me. They see me as more gentle, caring, kind, nurturing, receptive, and that's been lovely. So, but it is interesting to see the shift in the way the world receives size. Yeah, what do you think?
So I was trying to just apply that to men in general. So when you see a more slender man versus a one who obviously goes to the gym and you see the bulk on him, it's like, to my mind, it's weird that the first thing that comes to my mind is who commands more respect in the room.
Who does?
I would assume, based on just the culture growing up, it's a more bulkier man, has more authority, has more command in the room, has more presence, I guess. So, just on a surface level, though. So, what about your take on
Would
that?
you say that larger men, they present as more gentle,
No.
safer?
Larger men, I would argue no. It is kind of For lack of a better word, the vibe you show up with and the kind of what you exude into the air is what really determines that, regardless of muscle size or just weight in general. But so you can see very 6'5", 6'7" men who are what, 300 pounds can just be perceived as gentle. But then you can also see someone who is the physique of an athlete and it may come off as more intimidating. So.
Yeah, that's good to hear. And I think that that probably is more of the societal standard. I think I tend to, just professional experience over 20 plus years, this is more of a professional statement than I'll say like personal, but I have definitely seen and treated a lot of men who overcompensate their insecurities in so many ways in the gym. And I think that now, when I see someone who's got that kind of like puffed up, a little bit narcissistic, and, I'll say muscular perhaps, it really comes off to me before I get to know them as toxic and insecure. And I tend to like kind of gravitate away from something like that. So, I mean, yeah, it's just interesting how we have these, cognitive schemas about size, about weight, about what that means about the human being. And it could not be more faulty. It could not possibly be more wrong. And I think it's important to talk about that. I think it's important for all of us to accept that we have a size bias, not just interpersonally about self, but really about other people. And I see so much value in really leaning in and doing that work.
One thing I do appreciate from just being in this field is you learn how to perceive somebody.
So many opportunities and like great, rich experiences with people. Yeah, that's great.
So you learn to navigate those automatic knee-jerk thoughts. Well, first thought, second thought. You learn to navigate the first thoughts, and then really when you just learn to read between the lines or even look at just how to conceptualize someone and how they're presenting. So.
Oh yeah. And you just learn, I hope. And I mean, all of us, this field or not, are very capable of learning that people are people and they are so much more than their outward presentation. There is so much more to the person. And, I've heard myself say this before, and I really believe it, that oftentimes the outward presentation, the mask, the facade is the in direct conflict and opposition of what's going on internally for that human.
That's an entire episode. Because I was going to say, there's entire industries built on carefully crafting your mask. Let's not even talk about online dating
Oh, yeah, that's definitely
apps.
another episode. We need to talk about online dating. So let's make a note. But thanks, guys, for listening to our candid conversation about size and how it matters. Thanks.
Thank you.
Does anyone else feel like they just earned an extra brain wrinkle? Do you feel like that went by way too fast and just cannot wait till the next episode? Then leave a review and share this episode with a friend, a loved one, a coworker, or whomever, because your valued feedback makes a direct impact. Thank you for dropping in. Snaps to you, because you have made a direct impact by listening to this podcast. Make sure to follow us on social media and stay tuned every week for a new episode of Direct Impact with Andrea Epstein. Here is our disclaimer and legal language. Yes, I'm a psychotherapist, but guess what? I'm not your psychotherapist, and I need to be clear that this podcast is solely for enhancement, education, and entertainment purposes only. It is in absolutely no way a replacement for professional counseling services. If you feel like you need additional support, we strongly encourage you to seek that out today.
Hey guys, it's your host, Andrea. I have a question for you. How frustrating is it that you have to pay your hard-earned money to see? Personally, I've been wearing corrective lenses since the fourth grade, and the cost has really added up over the years. If you're like me and actually value your dollar, then check out iBuyDirect.com. iBuyDirect has many styles and affordable frames that fit your unique personality. Need specialty lenses like blue light filtering? No problem. iBuyDirect provides many options for customization like bifocals, progressives, tinted lenses, and more. Do you have 20/20 vision? Great. iBuyDirect has you covered too, with many sunglasses options that will allow you to express and enhance your individualized style. Do you like premium brands? I do. iBuyDirect carries Ray-Ban, Oakley, Vogue, just to name a few. Click the iBuyDirect link in our show notes and get affordable custom eyewear today.
Heads Up Guidance Services, or HUGS, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to removing all barriers to quality professional counseling services. At HUGS, all motivated individuals, couples, and families can access the support they need and deserve in an outpatient setting. They recruit dedicated, compassionate, and socially conscious professionals who volunteer their time and specialized skill pro bono. HUGS doesn't work with third-party payers, insurance companies, or government dollars. Rather, they operate entirely with the support of people just like you. To help support HUGS, visit www.headsupsavannah.org.